This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton with the radio program Raising the Standard. So what we're all about is raising the standard. I'm here by myself with Pastor Jonathan McLean. My dear sweet husband, Pastor Gene, is still in the hospital. Please keep him in prayer. He will be going hopefully to rehab today or tomorrow, and then you will be hearing him back on this broadcast again very soon. Soon and very soon, I would say. Amen. So he sends his love, and he wishes he was here. But, you know, we are here, and we will continue to bring Raising the Standard broadcast, radio broadcast, to you every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. And you can also hear this again on podcast on WCNO.com. Amen. I want to give our telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And of course, we have Shabbat every Friday night and services on Sunday at 11 a.m. if you are interested. Well, Pastor Jonathan, we are here to talk about some things that are very important to God and very important to our country and our state and this city, because, you know, we're called to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring the light of the Lord. Well, I want to mention a couple of things, and it may have to do with the State of the Union, the message that was spoken by our president this past week. And I believe that he was bringing light to our nation, talking about God. And of course, we can see that, you know, the darkness, there's darkness and light. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about darkness and light. In our Torah study this week, it's out of Exodus chapter 10, 11, 12. And it talks about light. You know, it says that there was great darkness in Egypt that could be felt. And I thought about that when I was reading that. I thought about the sin. Sin is so it could be felt. You know, it said it was for 3 days, great darkness, it could be felt. And as I was watching the State of the Union, I could see darkness there. I could see light there. And I could see that our president was trying to bring forth the light. He talked about God. He talked about the gospel. He talked about our nation. He talked about the flag. But there were others that were not interested. You could actually see the darkness, that the division. And, you know, when there is sin and there's light and dark, and God says there's going to be light and darkness, there's division there. So how can you come into agreement? And the same thing that you've been talking about with the pastors and the city and the government. Amen. And, you know, I call it marrying the government and the city and the people together to come together in one accord, because without that alignment, there has to be an alignment, a spiritual alignment with the Lord. And that, I believe, is what our president is trying to do. And this is what happened in Egypt. You know, God says in chapter 10 that, or I believe it was 10, Yeah, that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's mentioned three times. Well, I was thinking, you know, Moses thought that after the first or the second miracle, you know, maybe the people would go. But Moses was even criticized by his own people. And but you know, God had to bring it to a certain number to finish it, because God brings everything to a closure, I believe. And there was that number 10. It had to come to number 10, because the number 10 is the number of completion. And so, you know, and also as you read it, where you talk about the locusts and you think about what it says in Revelation about the locusts, you know, those locusts, they didn't die. They were sent back into the river there, the river. Why? Because God had to show what's going to happen in the last days, because they're going to be called forth in the last days. And if you read what it says in Revelation, what they look like, their faces and their wings and the stings, and they're going to cause men to wish they were dead.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, scary. And even the flies, they were called back into the river. So I thought, wow, and I hadn't seen that before. And people who read the Torah, you know, the Torah is so important. Some people say, well, I've read the first five books of the Bible. But, you know, every time you read it, you glean and you get some more revelation from it, because God wants to bring forth these nuggets of truth to show us how he's going to end things. So I thought, you know, God said he wanted them to see all of his signs and all of his wonders. So he was going to, so Moses didn't really understand why it had to go all the way till the death, you know, till one of them, till the firstborn had to die of man and beast in Egypt, and how that gross darkness. And then, you know, I thought about Jesus. He went and preached to the spirits, the spirits. And he talks about that, you know, and that was for 3 days, I would imagine. And there's probably even a connection there. I don't know, but, you know, it says in John 1:5, it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 3:19-21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Well, think about what some people in our nation and throughout the world want to do. They want to portray and bring forth darkness. What? Abortion, same-sex marriage, all these things that come against God's word. But we as the body of Christ and as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to raise the standard and speak the truth in love, because you know what, these people that are coming against our president, they love darkness more than they love light. If they love Jesus Christ and they love the word of God, they wouldn't be snarling and making faces when somebody talks about God,
because we're called to respect all those that God puts in authority.
Definitely. And,
absolutely.
You know, and we didn't elect a pastor. We elected a man that God had called and ordained for such a time as this, just like he did during the time of Esther. You know, there were people, and just like Moses, you know, Moses wasn't a man of many words, but God used him because he was willing and obedient. I want to read another scripture, and then I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Jonathan, because I know he has lots of things to share. John 8:12 says, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness," amen, "but shall have light of life." Well, we know this is the year 2018. It's the Hebrew year 5778, and that 8 is the number of new beginnings. It's the het, or the chet, some people say, and it means life. It means living. It means breath. And, you know, I think about what's happening with Pastor Gene. The enemy's trying to steal our breath. He wants to steal our voice. The enemy wants to steal our prophetic voice, because God has a prophetic people, and people, you can hear from the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten saved. We can all hear from the Lord, and we can all get a prophetic word, you know, from God. God can speak to a three-year-old. Didn't he do that in the Bible? We have examples of people who heard from the Lord when they were children. So this is the year of life, and so we need to, and living, and so we need to come alive in God, and we need to take up our sword of the Spirit, and we need to do that spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities." So we have different things that we wrestle against: powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, isn't the government a high place? there's spiritual wickedness there. And so we need to pray. We need to stand together. We need to come into the gap. You know, some people are afraid to come in the gap. They think they're going to be attacked by the devil. Well, you know, we have Jesus Christ. We have the Lord. We have the Holy Ghost. We're protected. We're protected. So we need to come into the gap and pray and seek the Lord. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite scriptures, 10:4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, amen, but they are mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds." And we can see, if you watch the State of the Union, you could see the strongholds that were there. And you know, even that, I don't know about it, but even that train wreck, you know, with a garbage truck and all that garbage all around, with people on there that were Republicans, and I'm not saying the Republicans have all the truth, because they don't. I believe that there's you can't look at one or the Democrats or the Republicans. I believe that, you know, we need to raise the standard in all people's lives, amen. So we could see that even in Egypt the darkness could be felt, and God caused those things to happen because he wanted Egypt and he wanted Pharaoh to see the signs and the wonders that he was doing and how he would deliver his people. So he will deliver you, he will deliver me, and he wants to set us on a firm ground so that we are strong and mighty and that we can do the works of the Lord. We can do what Esther did. We can be like Mordecai. And we're coming up to that time of Purim. A great learning in that book. God's not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther, but we can see God all through that book. And we will be celebrating Purim I think it's the first Sunday in March, but we'll let you know more about that. We'll have a Esther program. So, you know, we need to know about these things because God is wanting us to join together and to do the work of the ministry that God's called us to. Pastor Jonathan.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Don, it's great to be with you again today.
Thank you.
And Chris, we have asked to join us by telephone. Chris, you out there?
I sure am. Glad to be a part of it.
Good, good, good. Well, Don, it's a blessing to be here. And again, we just thank God for each of you who are listening. Thank God for this program, Raising the Standard. And thank God that he's faithful to fulfill his word to raise up Gene in total health. And we just thank the Lord for that and for the opportunity of meeting with you today. Whatever you're doing, if you would just open up your heart and let the Lord speak, hopefully you've received some from what Donna's already shared. Donna, we talked a little bit about Esther the other day, and as Purim is approaching, and I went back through the story, and I just wanted to touch on a couple things today because it's relevant, I believe, to every aspect. It can be applied so many different directions. Mm-hmm. But was looking at how God worked in Mordecai's life early in his life. Of course, Esther even being in his life. All of this, God was at work long before anyone would ever see the plan or understand the plan. And Donna and Chris, I see God doing that in our lives today. We may not understand why there were chapters, seasons, or why we face things, even why Gene is going through what he's going through today.
Right.
But God is at work in all of these things to prepare us for what he has in store for us yet ahead. And so those two eunuchs that were planning on taking the king's life, for that information to come to Mordecai, for him to find out about that and for that to be revealed at an opportune time and then to be recorded.
Yes.
God crosses the T's and dots the I's. God knows how to put everything in place in an individual's life, in your life today. You may look at your life and say, my life is a mess. Or you may say, my life is blessed. But wherever you are, God isn't finished with your life.
Right.
And God has more for you, and God's at work in it. But for Mordecai, God was working in him in powerful ways, in preparation. This is what I wrote down. God is always at work in our lives to prepare us, to position us, so that he can present us at just the right time to accomplish tremendous things for his kingdom.
That's right.
God is always at work in our life. Chris, you shared a little the other day about your testimony. You weren't always following God the way you are today.
That's correct. You know, for a good part of my career, it was all about me. I used to believe that I was in control of my business, my family, my home, and my investments. And, you know, that confidence was cocky. Yes, I believed in Jesus Christ at that time, but I wasn't saved. And it wasn't until a couple people said, Chris, why don't you just get involved in a one-hour Bible study a week? And it was men and women. And I will tell you, over the course of a year, year and a half, the Word began convicting me. Things that I never knew because I never read. And quite frankly, I was never instructed. So as a part of that process, God began to transition me for what He wanted out of me. And I'll never forget, it was an Easter weekend. And again, this is Mr. Control. I had a business meeting at Thursday at noon, and that was the hour that we were supposed to have our Bible study. But I put something in front of it, and it was Thursday of Easter. Friday morning, I got up. I was in such horrific back pain, I couldn't describe it. I couldn't stand. I couldn't lay down. There was no position that was comfortable, just incredible pain. And on Saturday night, I had a dream so vivid, and it was Jesus appearing to me in dream, I mean, just in living color. And He looked at me and He said, all I ever asked of you is 1 hour a week, and you couldn't even give me that. I want you to feel what I feel. Well, it was like someone ran electric current through my body. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke my wife up in the middle of the night, which I had never done, and I told her the dream. And I got up. I couldn't go back to sleep. I said, Lord, I get it. I understand. And from that night, I said, I'm surrendering all, not some of it, all. By Monday morning, I was able to go back to work. And from that time forward, I was walking step in step. And I would stumble, and I would fall. But along the way, He kept guiding me and letting me know what He wanted me to do as opposed to what I wanted to do. And the more I relinquished that control, the more He was able to mold me to be the person that He wanted me to be. And it just advanced from there. And probably the hardest challenge, Donna and Jonathan, was at 62 years of age, or 61, I kept getting this thought about going to the seminary. And I kept telling God, surely this is Satan. I'm too busy. I can't do this. It wouldn't go away. And so I said, all right. So I enrolled. And the first week, and you have to understand, I had been out of school for 40 years. So I wasn't aware of all the new things they do and how things are prepared and all the computer papers and how they had to be all a certain style. And I had prepared an essay, and somehow on my home computer I deleted it. And I got up and I stood there and I looked at my wife and I said, see, I told you this was stupid. God didn't want me to do this. Well, you had to know my wife. My wife was not saved at the time. But out of her mouth came these words. She looked at me and she said, God would not have put on you what He wouldn't have you finish. And when she said that, I went in my office, I closed the door, and I just cried. Because I knew then that God had a reason for me to go, and I was afraid of failing because it's been 40 years. With God's help and grace and my wife's sacrifice, over 3 years I excelled in that school and did very well. And then I wondered, well, now what am I going to do? I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to go out and open up a church. And lo and behold, He joined me with a gentleman named Jim Way that many of you know. And Jim Way became my mentor, and he was tough. He was not an easy man to be around. He was very vocal and at times, in my opinion, rude to me, but he was trying to shape me into what he felt God wanted me to do. And as you know, Jonathan, we lost Jim at the end of December, but December 10th, we had that Christmas proclamation supper, And from that time forward, all the training that Jim has done and God has done through him and others, we are now forming an alliance in the Treasure Coast that's just incredible.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you mentioned Mordecai.
Yes.
I love Mordecai. You know, Mordecai sat at the gate. It wasn't just a short time. He sat at the gate many, many, many years, and he was a humble, humble person. And, you know, Chris, you said God called you. God has called everyone. Well, if you're born again, you're called of God to do a work for God. It may not be, you may not think it's important. It may not be in the pulpit, but everyone is called. When I first got saved and we were ministering to children, they say, point to yourself and say, I'm a minister. I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, Mordecai, he ministered and he told Esther, don't tell your name. Her name was Hadassah. Don't tell your name. And he sat there and he did that, you know, and he didn't look for accolades. He didn't look for praise. And like you said, it was recorded. And at the right time, it came forth and it was recorded. And he was paraded through the city on the king's horse with the king's all the king's stuff, you know. And the people had to bow to him. But he would not bow. And there's many people that are bowing to the things in our government. I really feel that this government thing, we really need to pray about it because it affects our city, affects our state, affects our homes, affects our children, our schools. But, you know, he would not bow no matter what. And, you know, Haman, he was an Agagite, and he came up from the, you know, King Saul was supposed to kill all those people back a long time ago before that, and he didn't do it. So here comes Haman, a picture of Satan with his 10 sons. And, you know, he hated Mordecai. He hated the Jews. He hated them. And so his purpose was he thought he was going to get the one, he was going to be riding around on the king's horse, you know. But he's the one who had to lead Mordecai around on that horse when they pulled out those chronicles that you talked about. And the king honored Mordecai. Mordecai was not looking for anything. And we shouldn't be looking for anything. We should just be doing, we should be servants. We're servants of the, you know, you may be a pastor, you may be a prophet, you may be an apostle, but we're all to be servants. So we're a servant. We're not a slave or a bond slave, as some Bibles say. No, we are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think Mordecai is a perfect picture of that. And he was there to protect and to guide Esther and to direct her. And, you know, she had fear. She had some fear, but she said, will you pray and fast? And so she prayed and fasted, and so Mordecai prayed and fasted, and so did many of the people. And, you know, they won the victory because they began to join together and to do the work that they were called to do. They didn't just run off in fear, even though all of these, I guess you'd call them signs, were put up all over the place in Persia and all these places to kill the Jews. But you know what? They came together and they did what Esther had said to do, what Mordecai said to do, and they joined together. And that's the problem. A lot of the people of God have a problem joining together.
Very difficult. Very difficult. In this passage, when you look at the fact that Mordecai was basically in obscurity,
yes,
as far as the kingdom, and many times it looks as though, like a Joseph, how long was he behind the scenes? And Chris, for yourself, you know, we look at our lives and just go, well, Moses, perfect picture after 80 years, you know, what can I do now? What can I do? And sometimes people, because of their age, maybe because of physical handicaps, maybe because of lack of resources or educational opportunities, the enemy will lie to us from many angles and say, your life really doesn't matter. But listen, God did not design you to have no value.
That's right.
God does not make any junk. And every individual God has made has a high calling, high purpose. And when you look at the price that Haman put on the Jews, I tried to break it down and figure out what it would basically be.
Oh, yeah.
It comes out to be something like 375 tons of silver that he was willing to pay out of his pocket to the treasury, 375 tons of silver. Chris, you're an accountant. That's a lot.
I got that somewhere in my Bible, but I'm not sure right, but it was a lot.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, just break it down. I was poking around online, and I found out back when silver was in the neighborhood of $31 an ounce, that basically a ton would have been $1 million. So if it was $31.50 an ounce, it would have been $1 million per ton. Well, there were 375 tons. So today silver is probably around $17, but if you just broke that in half and said, okay, even at about $15 an ounce, it still would have been something like 187,000, or not thousand, but million, $187 million that Haman was willing to put into the treasure to stop the work of God. Now, Chris, you come from a business background, and I have looked at the financing that evil has, and whether it's, it doesn't matter what it is, Hollywood, whatever, it seems there's no limit to the dollars that's available to stop and to hinder the people of God. And today, part of the call, I believe, is for the people of God to realize that God is calling us together. He's calling the ministry leaders, the congregations, the people, every individual to come together to pray, to seek his face. They fasted, they prayed, they sought God for the condition of their nation.
They did.
Their life was on the line. It was a serious thing.
That's right.
And so they agreed, they came together, and it changed the government. I believe the government change that we're seeing now, in part, is because the body of Christ has prayed and fasted and sought God. But that was a lot of money for darkness, evil, and Satan to put up to destroy the Jews. There's a lot of resources that the enemy has. In the kingdom of God, I would like just to put out the call. The kingdom of God, God has blessed us. We need to bring our resources along with our faith to stand up in agreement to do the work of God.
That's right. Well, you know, it changed the king's heart.
It did. God changed his heart.
It changed the king's
heart. Yes, God changed his
heart. And Esther had favor to go before him, even when she wasn't to go before him, because she could have died. But she stepped forth, and she stood at the gate, and he called, held out the scepter, and she came in. So, well, you know, isn't our president trying to hold out the scepter for Christ and for God and speaking about God? You know, but here we have all this darkness, this thick darkness that's covering
our
nation.
That's like the big price that's put to stop, you know, to hinder.
That's right. And here we have the enemy working.
Right.
Picture Haman, picture the devil, working to bring deception and lies and lying to the people. There's even people that are still believing a lie.
Sure.
Because they don't know the gospel, and they don't know, they don't want the truth. Well, some people don't want the truth. Well, where there's darkness, there's no truth. It says that in this book, Exodus, where we're reading. Where there's darkness, there's no truth. And so the truth is what needs to come forth, the truth. And raising the standard is part of bringing the truth of the truth of God's word. But it is this about Esther and how she was willing to pay that price. You know,
she broke her silence.
She broke her silence.
If we're silent at this time in our nation's history, on the Treasure Coast at this time, Chris, God's released your voice. One thing that I saw at this proclamation dinner, the church didn't put the money up for this dinner. It came from business people, right?
That's awesome.
That's correct. And, you know, as I shared with many, when I started asking different people, I didn't get a denial. And I was asking them for $1,500 at a time, which is a lot of money. And the sponsors, whether they were individuals or corporate, didn't balk. They went ahead and stroked a check. They had no clue. And quite frankly, I didn't have a total clue on how that night was going to end up. We had a pretty good idea, but it was all in faith. We trusted in the Lord. The Lord responded unbelievable. And that night turned into be a joyous night and really the genesis of a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit on the Treasure Coast that is moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, that what took place that night, and some may just be turning their dial over and catching up with us, but it was a calling together of ministry leaders, Christian business leaders or business leaders and civic leaders. And in the book of Esther, what we're talking about, Donna, is this is powerful because Mordecai said to Esther, if you don't do anything at this time,
for such a time
you're not going to be saved. Don't think you're going to be saved from the conditions in the land.
No. Nope.
Very possibly you will die. And then the second condition that Mordecai addressed was, but God will raise up deliverance from someone else.
Someone else, somewhere else. That's
and
right.
So, you know, Donna, we have an opportunity
definitely
to follow God, obey God, and mm-hmm. be obedient to the call that's on our life at this time.
That's right.
Chris, that's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing together. And that's what this program is about as well. And it's a tremendous public testimony. Here we are, two ministries. Actually, three different ministries because of the coalition together
right.
today. And we're here saying God has a better plan for the Treasure Coast. God
for such
has
a time as this.
For such a time as this, a breakthrough plan. It's that bulldozer plan
yes,
that you were
is.
Talking about. And she was willing to pay the price. She said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to go in. If I perish, I perish. And, you know, Chris, you said something earlier. You said you hesitated to pursue the education because of the educational demands in your time away from studies, because the enemy would bring fear and timidity on us to hinder us from coming into the high calling that's in our life. And at this point, Gene, he's there in the hospital. The enemy will lie to all of us and say, look at you, you're down on your back. Look where you are now. You've been serving God. Well, the enemy's a liar. And God is sovereign, and God is doing a great work in the Treasure Coast, and he wants each of you listening to be a part of this great work. This is not just for Chris or for me or for Donna. It's not just the coalition. It's not just for us to have dinners. It is about God showing up in his sovereign power and doing a great work of healing, redemption, salvation, restoration on the Treasure Coast. It will deal with our political arena. It will deal with our churches. It will deal with our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you read Deuteronomy 28, God's plan is to bless his people.
That's right.
It's always been his plan. And it's only sin when we do it our way that we fall short of God's great blessings. And, of course, they went, they fasted, and, you know, God heard and God answered, and God turned things around for them, and it was quite powerful.
They did fast, and that's quite powerful what it says over here in chapter 4 about them fasting. You know, they came together as one people. You know, even the maids fasted. It says Queen Esther was the queen exceedingly grieved. I'm in verse 4 of chapter 4. This was about the clothing. I'm reading the wrong thing, and I lost my place. Anyways, they were mourning and everything, and they were fasting, and they were weeping, and they were wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. They were not afraid. I don't know when's the last time I've seen people laying in sackcloth and ashes. I went to a revival one time, and there were people laying in sackcloth and ashes, and I don't think people know what it's like to really travail in the Lord, and to really, you know, that
this is getting serious.
There has to be an anointing to travail in the Lord. You can't make it happen. You can't work it up. You have to be sincere with God, and you got to spend time. You got to be in his presence. You got to spend time soaking.
It's a passionate pursuit of God.
And it's not something you turn off and on like water. I mean, we can pray, and we believe in praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I can pray in the Holy Ghost right now, and then I can stop.
Right.
But to travail and to intercede and to cause things to happen, to move the hand of God. See, Moses had to look to that burning bush before God spoke to him.
Right.
And so we have to look to God, and we can't it doesn't happen in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You know, God can do things quickly. I'm not saying he can't, but travailing like they did with the wailing and the weeping and the fasting. Well, you know, they still want to kill the Jews today. Look who's surrounding Israel now. And they're all
same
from
situation.
The same people,
right.
The Agites. They're all from the same family, you might say. But so they want to kill the Jews now.
But and God is still protecting them.
And what does our president want to do? Move.
Protect them.
He wants to move the to Jerusalem.
Right. The embassy.
The embassy to Jerusalem. Well, you know, so many people look to America. We move that to Jerusalem. Other countries
will
go and do it. Will follow and do the same thing. There might be 8, 10, 12. You don't know how many will do the same thing. So we got to be behind our president, and we got to pray because God has raised him up. You know, even with the king and Esther, they had a son came on later called about Cyrus, and this was all prophesied as well. So these prophetic words are going to come to pass. But, you know, we don't want to see America be destroyed.
No. And, you know, in reference to the embassy being moved to Jerusalem, God chose to place his name at that city.
That's it.
And so some may have different opinions about that. But the point is, God placed his name in that city. That is God's city. And to me, that is a movement of America toward God's blessing.
Definitely.
For us to do that, because
definitely,
God has put his name there. Chris, we met again. The board of the coalition has been meeting. I wanted to mention this prayer gathering because we're talking about prayer.
Right.
And there is a call to pastors. We only have 70 spots. Chris, tell us about that. Give us the date again today. We want to keep that before the people as we move toward that date.
So on Friday morning, March 23rd, from 7:30 in the morning to 9, at the Holiday Inn on US 1 in Port St. Lucie, we will have breakfast provided free of charge for 70 pastors. So it's going to be important when we can bring 70 pastors together in the Treasure Coast in prayer, with direction of where the Holy Spirit is moving the coalition, great things are ahead of us.
Absolutely. You know, Chris, a couple other things we've talked about as we've got together. One has to do with the Watchmen on the Wall Conference and the great work that they're doing, standing up for religious freedom in our nation's capital. And that is a conference that I've been able to attend two times. What is the date of that conference? That's a conference that again, it's for ministry leaders. It's a specific conference for pastors and ministry leaders.
Well, that conference is going to be in May, and I believe the dates, it's Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, which is the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of May in Washington, D.C. And it's going to be very affordable. It's an incredible conference. You have the cost of your airfare and registration. Your lodging is taken care of. Your meals are taken care of. And we had speakers last year like Rabbi Kahn, and General Boykin, and so many others, well-known evangelists and people of just a tremendous notoriety in Christian circles. And it just elevates all the pastors who attend. And some of them bring their spouses, so their spouses are welcome. And we've got information on that. If any of the pastors that are listening, hopefully they'll make it to our prayer breakfast on March 23rd. But if not, they can reach me at 461-5511, and that's 772 area code, and I'd be glad to give them the information. But again, what that's going to allow us to do, as we get a great group of pastors together, and get a lot of them up to the Watchman on the Wall, we are, and pretty much the parallel of what Donna is saying, is to help all these church leaders mobilize their congregation, if they haven't registered to vote, to register to vote, and then when it's time to vote, be able to give a platform on the people that are running for our local school board, our city or county. And we will have an opportunity to find out where they stand on issues that affect Christians. And we can share that with our congregation. But it's a total effort of all the pastors to work with their congregations. And they will be provided all the ammunition and information they need and support to help them do this.
That conference really was instrumental in stirring up just a great deal of faith in me. As I said at that conference, I was sitting with a group of men that I had just met and ladies there at that table. And I have this fire inside of me. It is. I know it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, but there's this fire inside of me that is of God, and I know it's the zeal of God. It's the zeal of God, and that's something God puts in our heart that moves us in the kingdom of God to have faith, to believe, even when things look dark, when we're seeing the darkness, and to call things even though they've not yet manifested yet as they should. And I sat there at that table and I realized I'm in a room full of people that have the zeal for God. It was a holy zeal, and it was a zeal that was moved with the Word. It was a zeal that was moved with wisdom. And these are leaders, government leaders, church leaders, business leaders that were at that meeting, and they were sharing their hearts. And I was so encouraged to realize we're not alone. We have attorneys in Washington that's standing up for the rights of the unborn child.
Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Jay is doing a tremendous job.
Awesome.
And so in the body of Christ...
He's a Jew.
Amen. Amen. But this is just one of those events that that God is using. I've seen pastors' lives totally changed when they're exposed to the truth in a setting wherein they can receive. And sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We have to get into the presence of God and just remove all of our walls and barriers and say, God, I want to hear from you. Whether it's the way I always knew it, whether it's what I'm comfortable with, whether it's what I know, I understand. God, I want to hear from you. I want to know what your word means. And I want to be used by your Spirit. I want to be a part of what you're doing right now. Mm. And God is doing that. God's bringing a lot of us together in fresh ways, new ways. And I believe today is one of those days as well. I wanted to share a couple scriptures from the book of Hebrews, actually from Romans. I'm sorry, from Romans. And this is something that God was working in me. There was a morning as I was having my quiet time with God, and Chris, I shared this with the coalition board today as we were meeting. And as I was in prayer, God was dealing with me about the way I spoke to the congregation and the way I talked about praying for the city. And so I would say things like this, you know, we love the body of Christ, we pray for all the body of Christ. And God began to deal with me about one of the local churches. This is First Baptist was in Jensen Beach. Paul Thompson was there at the time. And many of the area listeners would know of that church, a great church. And God just began to deal with me about that. What do you know about Paul Thompson? How do you pray for him? How do you pray for his church? And Don, I hate to admit it, but I didn't know how to pray for him because I didn't know him.
Right.
This is why we in the body of Christ need to bring the walls down and get together.
Definitely.
I didn't know him. And so God dealt with me very strongly and said, you need to get over and get a relationship with that brother. And this is what the Lord put on my heart, these points, that that I needed to tell Paul, I've sinned against you. I said, Lord, how have I sinned against Paul? I don't even know him. The Lord said, by not inquiring and building a relationship, you have acted independently as if his ministry in this city didn't matter. You've isolated yourself. I was the one isolated, not Paul. God was dealing with me, not somebody else. And so this is something that as those who are listening today, you can pray for your pastors. You can pray for the leaders in the city. You can pray for our government leaders here in our city, our region, the Treasure Coast, and our nation, because prayer changes things. And so I called the office of First Baptist. Secretary answered the phone. I told her that I needed to talk to the pastor, and she did what all, you know, she was watching the calls, you know. And so I said, ma'am, you don't understand. God has burdened my heart. I have to repent. I have to ask forgiveness. And so very quickly she talked to Paul. I was in his office within an hour. And you
awesome.
Know, that day was a breakthrough day for me. We were on our knees at his desk. I was on my knees. He was on his knees. We were crying out to God. And after I told Paul what the Lord had said to me, that I'd sinned against him by acting as though as though he was a part of the body, but I never sought to build a relationship with him.
Like isolation, sort
of. Yep. I am imbalanced without you. That was the next thing God said. Tell him that you're imbalanced. That just as God put Jonathan McLean, put Donna and Jean in the city, God said, I put Paul in the city.
That's right.
And you're imbalanced by yourself. Together you represent my kingdom. And so I told him that. And then the third thing God told me to tell him, I need your friendship, I need your fellowship, I need your partnership, and I need your leadership in my life to more effectively accomplish what God has called me to do. And Chris, you're going to hear a lot of stories like this because God has sent me to a lot of people because they're key people in the city. And God wants us to make this about Jesus.
That's it.
It's not about my church. It's not about building buildings here on the Treasure Coast. It's not about big churches, small churches. It's about a big God. It's about gave his life for us. It's about having hope. If you're in your car, you're in your home, you're listening today, and your world is coming apart, you don't know which way to turn. You might be addicted to drugs. You might be addicted to alcohol.
Right.
You may be bound up in some kind of a relationship that isn't right. It's destructive. It's abusive. I mean, look in the news. We just had this teenager shoot these two other teenagers. This is why we've got to get together and pray. The strongholds have got to be broken. They have to be, the walls have to come down.
That's right.
And we've got to get together and quit worrying about who's going to have the biggest wagon to pull. Who's going to have the most influence? Who's going to be the most important? Let's make Jesus the most important one in the Treasure Coast.
And you know,
amen.
Mordecai, he's a perfect example of humility.
Yes.
You know, and not to have, like you said, big churches. And some people think, well, this person's more important. The more influential, I go talk to them. No, it may not. It may be the one who is, you may think, is the least, like Mordecai.
Amen.
He was the least, you know. But, you know, the Lord wouldn't allow the king to sleep that night.
Right.
He had to pull out those chronicles. And so, you know, he kept the king awake until he had this truth come forth, you know. And so, you know, and you're talking about, you know, it's not who's who.
Yes.
It's not who's who. It's who is God. It's the I am, the great I am. Moses said, and God kept saying, telling him, I am have sent thee. I am as I am. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Aaron. It was God that was behind everything that they did. They didn't do anything unless they were led by God, by the Spirit of God, and by the Word of God, and by the commands of God. And as long as even the children of Israel, as long as they were obedient, they always won the battle. But when they decided to do things on their own, they fell on their face.
Right.
They died. They always won the battle when they followed the Lord and they came together and they did it in humility. And so I think about Mordecai and Esther and the king. You know, it's just a picture of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together. We don't see God in this book of Esther, but he's all there, you know. He's all there
all the
to
way
see
through it.
How he delivered
yes.
the children of Israel, how yes. he will deliver us, how he delivered them out of bondage, out of Egypt, you know. But we're just like the people in Egypt. Many people are. They have become born again, but they still have the world in them.
Right.
They're not willing to die to self, to give up the things of the world, and seek, Matthew 6:33, one of my very favorite scriptures, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Seek him first.
Someone today needs
seek
to just
him
do
first.
That.
Amen. And, you know, and it doesn't mean that all the things that you want, like your cars, your Cadillacs, no, spiritual things. He's going to give us good things. He's going to give us what we need.
Amen.
But, you know, we don't all need $1 million, do we? We need God because he is the one who owns everything,
amen.
All the cattle on all the hills. And so we need to seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Chris,
you mentioned that God gives us what we need. But when he gives us, it's what we do with it. And I'm reminded of Mother Teresa when
true.
She won the Nobel Peace Prize and was given $200,000. And what did she do? She gave it right to the community that she served, the poor. She didn't take any of that money for herself. And you look at Esther. Esther had it made. If you look at it from a layman's point of view, Why would Esther be so foolish as to give up the favor of the king and just turn her head? But she trusted in God. And that trust and obedience, not only with the people in our court, but she got the message out to all of Israel, all the Israelites, to fast and pray. And that obedience was rewarded by God. And obviously, favor was granted to Mordecai. Unbelievable. But, you know, it was a lot easier said than done for her to give up what she already had.
Chris, the prayer, the fasting, the coming together, the seeking God, that's what they did.
That's it.
And that's what God has put on my heart to shout from the mountaintop. We need to get together. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to seek God. This gathering with the pastors is to do that. And Chris, you always say something about logos and Legos or something.
Let your logo and your ego behind you.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
We're not interested in how big your church is and the name of it or anything like that. We're interested in your heart for
God. Amen.
And, you know, I'd like to bring up on February 25th, we're going to have a coming together of many churches at the Haver Fenn Center in Fort Pierce. So people from Stewart, Indian River County, and Port St. Lucie, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock that Sunday night at the Haver Fenn Center, we've got people from different praise groups who have all gotten together from different churches. They're practicing on Monday nights. We're going to have the sheriff, the superintendent of schools, and others who will speak to what God has done in our community since we've gotten together in prayer. It's a powerful night, and I would encourage anybody who hears this to put that date on their calendar, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, Sunday, February 25th, at the Haver Fenn Center. It's going to be a powerful evening.
That is, and that came right out of a prayer group in Fort Pierce. That is not something that the coalition is sponsoring. It's not an event that we put together, but it's the body of Christ, a prayer group, that is doing that. And of course, we are in support of the body of Christ coming together. I wanted to share this scripture from Romans, and it's chapter 12. And most of us are really familiar with this. It talked about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And this is so important. And really, this is the area in my life that God has continued to work in my life. It's a sanctifying process. It's setting yourself apart unto God and laying aside our own personal agendas so that the kingdom of God, not just my church, there's priorities, my wife, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, we have priorities. But in the region, God has planted us at this place. At some point, maybe we can look at Acts 17. It's powerful where it says your address, your time, the appointment, all of that is part of God's calling. But, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Present your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. And as God's messenger, I give you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourself, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Listen to this, Christ's body. We are all parts of this one body. Each of us has a different work to do, and since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Donna, do you have that in the King James?
I certainly do.
Would you read that, please?
Where did you start at?
Okay, just with verse 1 down through verse 5.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, that means you all, ye, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Did you go on, five?
Mm-hmm.
For as we have many members in one body, that's Christ, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts. I like that, gifts. He's given us gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry.
We need each other.
We need each other.
Amen.
And I just want to have a, do I have a couple minutes or what?
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. All right, I'm just going to go over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can go on.
Amen.
God's word is so good.
Amen.
And so pure and so holy. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton, and I'm so blessed to be here with Jonathan McLean. We'll be here every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. So you can call us if you want a copy of this. You can give us a call, and we'd be glad to give you a copy of this. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. We pray you have a blessed day, a blessed Sabbath day, and that you worship God. Spend that time. You know, God wants us to have a Sabbath rest. We need to take that time and to rest in the Lord. That's why he gave us a Sabbath, you know.
That's right.
It's very important, because he wants us to go and work and do the things that God's called us to do each and every day. But God has promised to give us a Sabbath rest, and you know, the Sabbath has never changed. So praise God. We love you guys. We're thankful that you're a blessing to this ministry, and I pray that we be a blessing to you as well. So what do you say, Jonathan?
Hallelujah, and thank you for joining us today and listening. May the Lord bless you and your family, and if you need the Lord, please stop, bow your head right now, and welcome him to come into your life.
Yes.
He is waiting to do that.
Yes.
Amen.
And raise the standard, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're countdown with Pastor Tom.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you again, Donna, for letting us be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, so much. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Woo!
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.